know, Duke, North Carolina, you know, programs like they're always going to do their things. Kentucky. I was throwing this out last hour. I just think it's great for college basketball when we see programs that are normally traditional football programs like an LSU, like a Tennessee. If we want to, and I don't think we'll ever get back to the heyday of what that popularity was like in the 70s and the 80s as far as college basketball, but one of the ways to get there is having things and these type of success stories with programs that normally don't enjoy this type of notoriety.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, LSU really hasn't been relevant for a while. I mean, John Brady had a Final Four, you know, 10 or so years ago at LSU. And before that, way back was, you know, Dale Brown in, I think, 1886. So it's been a while for LSU to get back to kind of get things rolling here. But all it took was the basically the youngest coach and probably in Power Five conference, youngest coach out there, and a guy who had a one of the best recruiting years in the nation last year, and has basically a new team this year. He's two guys back from last year who played substantial minutes, and the rest of them are all of them are brand new. So they're top eight players. They play 8-man rotation. Only Tremont Waters and Mays, Skylar Mays, are back from last year. So what he's done with all the new talent and how well they've played and found ways to win, a lot of people. You know, obviously Rick Barnes is going to get a lot of consideration for Coach of the Year, and SEC, and rightfully so, but Will Wade will probably get some mention too.
When I was talking about this too, about winning, breeding success, especially whether it's high school athletics, but college athletics especially as well, and how ironic, first of all, we look over at what's happening in Knoxville and, you know, with what Rick Barnes is doing, how that can have a carryover effect, not just to football, but the other programs on the campus as well. And you know, we're seeing the job that Ed Orgeron is doing for LSU, another solid recruiting class, LSU, along with A&M, maybe they're ready to really contend as far as the SEC West is concerned, as far as football. But when we're seeing that and we're seeing the success with this men's basketball program this year, I think it has the opportunity to also drive some other programs. We always know about the baseball program being a team that's perennially a program that's have chances to win not only a conference title, but be in strong consideration to even win national titles. But I think it even has a more carryover effect to the other programs as well in the athletics program.
Yeah, it kind of works that way at the SEC. I mean, obviously, a lot of times you'll see basketball recruiting is helped by football because a lot of those guys come in from the bits on football weekends, and they see that energy and they see that excitement, and they want to be a part of that. It's always been a thing in the SEC where football has helped in the recruiting. I know Billy Donovan many, many times talked about how much at Florida, how much football helped him recruit basketball. So, yeah, it is a deal that carries over. You're absolutely right.
As far as, like, the students and the fans of football, I mean, how much are they paying attention to what this men's basketball team is doing? Or has that changed dramatically with LSU going on the road and beating Kentucky last night, a team that the Wildcats were number 5 in the country, although LSU was a top 20 team? Does it take things like that to really, for the fans to really totally buy into what this team is doing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely so, but I thought they started buying in really after the first couple weeks of SEC play when they went on the road, won some games, and they've been pretty consistent with the way they play. They have a strange mode of operation. A lot of times they'll come out and fall behind early and all of a sudden click on this switch that's absolutely incredible, and they turn teams over a lot, and they get to the foul line a lot, and they understand how to win. They're a great offensive rebounding team. Just last Saturday, they outscored Auburn 29-1 in second chance points. Will has an 8-man rotation. Everybody understands their role. They play their role, and it's a team that kind of gets a little bit better every game. Last night they didn't fall behind as much as they had with other times in the recent weeks, and kind of hung around. I mean, their whole objective last night was to kind of give themselves a chance in the last 5 minutes. I mean, can they beat within a striking distance in the last 5 minutes? And one thing that has helped LSU is its free throw shooting. It shoots like about 76% as a team. And so when you get to that last 5 minutes, you see LSU, they're taking the ball to the basket a lot. And because if they get fouled, they're more than likely they're nailing the free throws. So they understand who they are, and they understand that while they can lose, but while they can win at Kentucky, that if they don't come out with focus at Georgia, even though Georgia has struggled immensely, they could lose at Georgia. LSU won in Baton Rouge over Georgia, but it was a struggle. They kind of struggled against them. So I think LSU understands this team is not looking ahead to Tennessee, believe me. They know they can't afford to. They're not that good enough yet where they could like kind of not take the night off from focus, but they've got to look at every team as they come up.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point. I mean, even Georgia, though they're next to last in the SEC, you know, at home they're above 500. So that's, you know, first things first for LSU this Saturday, going there to take on the Bulldogs on Saturday night. But then even before the Tennessee matchup, LSU has to play host to the Florida Gators. My guess is they're not looking ahead to Tennessee. Anything can happen. I mean, look, Vanderbilt can go into Knoxville and beat Tennessee next Tuesday. Not likely, but the possibility is there, per se. But if everything plays out, like I said, this Saturday night we get the first showdown for Tennessee and Kentucky, the first of two matchups. But I'm really anticipating also for Tennessee when they travel to take on LSU in that day game on Saturday the 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere is going to be crazy. It's going to be as loud as just like the old days in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center when they call it the nickname the Death Dome. So it's been loud the last couple of Saturdays. They've had home games. It's been packed. The students have been there. The crowd's been loud. Like I always say, you know it's a big game when Bob Pettit shows up at courtside. He has season tickets. Still, he still likes to go to games, but he goes to select games during the year. So when Bob comes in, sits in his seat at half court, you know it's a big game. And he showed up last Saturday. So, like I said, LSU looking forward to the Tennessee matchup, but they got a lot of work to do before then. This is a crazy league where everybody kind of knocks off each other. I mean, everybody's projecting 7 or 8 teams from the SEC to get to the NCAA tournament. Well, I mean, right now I think for – mostly, you can probably say Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU. And there's a lot of other teams got to do a lot of work to get there. But that's why it's going to be February leading to March. These last few weeks, there's going to be a lot of upsets. And like I said, Tennessee, Kentucky, Saturday, this that game is going to be a great game.
Ron Higgins, once again, he covers LSU for TigerDetails.com, part of the Rivals Network. Hey, I know with your previous ties to Memphis, I wanted to get your thoughts on the inaugural week as far as the new league, the Alliance of American Football, and Memphis, one of the 8 franchises out there. You know, their offense still is a work in progress, but overall, your thoughts on how this league plays out and Memphis's role in this league?
Well, you know, Memphis has always been great in alternate leagues. I mean, the USFL in Memphis and Memphis Showboats, they drew nice crowds, 35,000-40,000. They had good teams. They had guys on that team who played. And Reggie White started his pro career with the Memphis Showboats. And the USFL was a really underrated good league when you think of the people that played in that league that transitioned to the NFL, like Steve Young. You know, Herschel Walker was in that league.
Well, even prior to that, with the Memphis Southmen in 1974 and half of that 75 before the World Football League disbanded, but Memphis and Birmingham had huge rivalries, and there were huge crowds for those two programs. And everybody just assumed that one day Memphis and Birmingham was going to be brought into the under the umbrella of the NFL. But unfortunately, the league disbanded, and but I like the opportunities there, especially for the in-between, the developmental type situations for these college players, maybe immediately not good enough for the NFL, but a chance to get themselves good enough with this new league.
Yeah, and you know, I watched the first weekend. I watched the Orlando game with Spurrier coaching, which was fun to see him coaching again and enjoying it and doing pretty well. I like some of the rules of the new league. I like the fact that the game moves fast. You'll have really long, long commercial breaks. The game moves fast. I think there's some things that in this league that the NFL might eventually learn from. Hopefully.
Right.
You know, a lot of times a new league comes along and it has some innovations, and the established league kind of looks at it with down their nose at them, and then they finally figure out some of these things are pretty good. Like the, you know, go back to the ABA, the three-point shot.
Good point.
NBA kind of looked down their nose at that, but they discover it's a pretty good deal. Let's do that. So hopefully the NFL will look at some of these things from this league. And I hope this league understands exactly what it is. It's a developmental league. It's not the NFL. It has its own niche and sticks with that. The problem with the USFL was that, Donald Trump tried to sue to get to be able to play with the NFL. It didn't work. And then they lost a lawsuit, and the league disbanded. So hopefully this league will stay in its lane. I think it will. It has some pretty smart people running it.
Well, and I think that the two rules that I could easily see adopted by the NFL, no more kickoffs. I get tired of watching kickoffs in the NFL, knowing that all of them are, it seems like all of them are going through the end zone, which means you score a touchdown, kick the extra point, go to commercial break, come back, do a kickoff, go back to another commercial break. I like the fast moving action of this new league, so I think that's one. And I also, with knowing the rule change as far as an onside kick, so like why even bother? You're not going to recover one. I like it's 4th and 12 at your own 28, and then if you can get a first down, then you keep on marching. So I kind of like that rule too, and I could easily see that rule adopted by the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they got some innovative people running this league. Bill Polian, who knows football as well as anybody. I like the fact that they kind of thought this thing through, and they put some stuff in there that's innovative and not gimmicky. I mean, there's a difference. And this not gimmicky. It's pretty. It's innovative. It's been well thought out. I thought the first weekend was entertaining. I liked what I saw. I mean, Memphis was a disaster going to Birmingham, and their quarterback was awful. But if it keeps up that way, try other guys. You got a ton of LSU guys on that team. That was one that. LSU was assigned to that Memphis team. They got a bunch of LSU guys in there. Maybe they can make an impact.